Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. Now, on the last broadcast, I was giving you the parameters that I will be following on this new journey through 1 John, and today I want to continue discussing that with you. Now, as I said on the last broadcast, this journey through the Epistle of 1 John will be expositional, meaning that we will go verse by verse through the entire book. So whatever subject God the Holy Spirit put into that particular verse or passage, that is what I will be dealing with on that particular broadcast. Also on the last broadcast, I began to show you that there should be three goals to every Bible study. Number one, what does the Scripture say? Number two, what does the Scripture mean by what it says? And number three, what is the practical application of that divine truth to our lives? We also saw last time how that it is very important for us to find out exactly what the words of Scripture actually say by looking back at the original Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic meaning of the words themselves. We also need to take into consideration just who was speaking, who was being spoken to, the culture and historical context of that verse or passage, and the timeline of events. This gives us the truest examination into just what the verse or passage actually says. Secondly, we need to look at what Christian doctrine, spiritual revelation, divine truth is being taught or expressed in that verse or the passage. The particular passage may be confirming, for example, the divinity of Jesus Christ. It may be speaking about the triunity of God or the sovereignty of God. The verse or passage that we are studying may be dealing with salvation or how God views sin or what God loves and what God hates. So after we find out just what the verse says, we have to examine that verse to find out just what the verse means or what truth is being taught. Now, in doing this, we must be careful that we do not read more into the verse than it says, and that we do not take anything away from the verse, something that it does say. For example, we know from previous studies that Jesus Christ was both human and divine. We know that Jesus was the most unique person who ever lived because he was fully God and fully man in the same body at the same time without conflict or contradiction. So when we read passages that speak about Christ's humanity, we must be careful to put those verses in context or we will get off base real quick. The Bible gives us insight into Christ's humanity by speaking about Jesus being born, growing in wisdom and favor and strength, weeping, hungering, bleeding, and dying, things that God cannot and will not do. So if those things are the only verses that we read, we would get a warped sense about Jesus that may well lead us into the same heresy that the Jehovah's Witnesses have gone into, denying Christ's deity. So as a rule, in biblical interpretation, it is that we must keep in mind that any time we read a particular verse that gives us a characteristic about the person of Jesus Christ or the character and nature of God the Father or a verse which teaches how a man is justified in God's sight, we must be careful to take all that the Bible says about those issues and interpret the one verse or passage by the whole Bible, not the other way around. So after we find out what the verse says, then we find out what the verse means, then we go to step three and study to find out just how can we apply this holy and divine truth to our own personal lives. Since I am saved, God has placed within me the desire to do what God says to do. So I seek to be obedient. And although I am not always successful in being perfectly obedient, I do desire to apply the truth and the meaning of God's precious word to my life so that I may please my wonderful Savior. This portion of Bible study may be easy to do, but it may also involve quite an elaborate process. It may involve me simply meditating upon that verse or passage. Now that I have the correct meaning about that, what the verse says and what it means, I can sit and ponder it for a while until I can see just how to apply it into my own life. But it may also involve me consulting with other godly people who I know and trust to give me reliable information. It may involve me consulting with trusted commentaries from giants of the faith like Charles Spurgeon or Jonathan Edwards of the Puritans or A.W. Pink or John Calvin or Matthew Henry or one of the early church fathers. And by doing that and opening myself up to a historical perspective of how others during the 2,000-year-old Christian church saw that verse or passage, to see how they applied that very same verse to their lives, and not relying on my own limited knowledge and experience and wisdom, I minimize the chance that I have of getting off base and coming up with some off-the-wall interpretation. For example, let's take that familiar verse from 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Let's go through the three steps as I actually did them for this verse. First of all, let's read the verse all the way through. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So step one says that I am to find out just what does that verse say. It seems to me that it says that I'm supposed to study. Well, who is supposed to study? And study what? So upon an examination, we find that the Apostle Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this letter or epistle of 2 Timothy to a young pastor by the name of Timothy who was shepherding the Christian church at Ephesus during the first century. So Paul is instructing this young pastor on how he is to conduct his ministry. Paul is telling this young man to study. Study what? Well, study the scriptures. Okay, Paul wants Timothy to study. My only experience in studying before I became a pastor was how I studied in school. So if I was to just use my own limited personal experience about studying here, I would apply the same techniques of my own personal study habits in college into my ministry. So that means I would basically goof off during the week, and right before I had to preach, I would cram real hard and real fast, taking as many shortcuts as possible in order to get ready to preach. Because sadly, that's how I studied in college. But is that what Paul was saying here? No, it's not. Well, how do I know that? Well, first of all, what does the word that Paul used here that was translated into English as be diligent actually mean? Well, Paul used the Greek word spoudazo here, which according to Kittle's Theological Dictionary of the New Testament means to be diligent, to do my best, to strive or labor, to be earnest. And as this word is used here, this Greek word gives the connotation of doing all this on a very planned, programmed, set aside, dedicated, consistent, and uninterrupted basis. So, because I did my correct word study, I found out that I could not copy my college study habits in my Bible study at all, but that I am told here to do my best, to be diligent, to set aside dedicated, consistent, consecrated, planned, and uninterrupted times of deep, serious, line upon line, and precept upon precept study of the Scriptures in order that I might prepare myself to preach the gospel correctly. Now, what does that verse say next? Well, it says to be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Now, this is approved to God as opposed to being approved to man. So this portion of this verse reminds us that preaching is really not about getting everybody all fired up like a pep rally, but the Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy here that his preaching is actually worship, and that Timothy, as well as all the other pastors, are to do their preaching as well as their study unto God as a form of obedient and labor of love for God's glory, and not for the success of his own personal ministry or in order to raise a big offering or to manipulate people into doing what you want them to do. So the approval here is on God's side, not man's, because it could well be that very few men would approve of Timothy's sermons. But as long as he is approved to God, he's just fine. And this also shows that the pastor is answerable to God and is accountable to God for what he preaches. So the pastor should preach what is pleasing in God's sight, rather than what tickles the ears of men. Now, the next important word in this verse is workman. And this word comes from the Greek word ergates, which means a skilled craftsman as opposed to a novice. So that means that a pastor cannot be satisfied with occasional dabbling in the Word of God, but he has to become a skilled craftsman in the Word of God. The next word we should look at is ashamed. This word comes from the Greek word, which means irreproachable or beyond reproach, and is used this only this one time in the entire New Testament. Every other reference of the word ashamed in the New Testament uses another Greek word, but this word is best translated as being beyond reproach. The next phrase in our verse says accurately handling the word of truth. This phrase says that we are to do all of this so that we may rightly, as opposed to inaccurately, handle the word of truth. This verse tells us clearly that there is a right way and a wrong way to interpret the Bible. And Paul is telling Timothy that unless he does all of the above, he will wrongly interpret the Bible. So let's put all this together and see what this verse actually says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 actually says, not only Timothy, but every single person who's going to stand in the office of pastor must do his best to be diligent, to set aside dedicated, consecrated, planned time of uninterrupted, deep, serious, line upon line, precept upon precept study of the Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testaments, so that he may be accepted or approved by God and not man, to the end that he may no longer be a novice, but he can become a skilled craftsman in the Word of God, so that he will be beyond reproach in the sight of God, so that he may correctly interpret the Bible, so that what he preaches will be exactly what God has said. Okay, that is what that verse says. Now, what does that verse mean? Well, first of all, that verse is not a suggestion. It is an apostolic commandment inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that means that it is a requirement for ministry. So if a man cannot dedicate himself to that level of study, then he has no business getting up and preaching. Now, he may well be saved, and he may well have something interesting to share periodically, but we're not talking about sharing a testimony here. We're talking about teaching other people what God has said and leading them to repent and obey it. And that means that pastors have an obligation to get it right and not play around with other people's souls. So you can't wing this. If a man doesn't value the Bible enough to labor over it, you don't want to be following that man. Now, this may sound hard or drastic, but beloved, the reason that we have so many scandals today in ministry is because ministers are so ill prepared to preach and teach the Bible because they do not study the Bible. If you ever hold someone in your arms whose life has been shattered by a fallen pastor, you will know that we need to raise the bar when it comes to ministry, not lower it. Any pastor who refuses to study to show himself approved is not being individualistic. He is not being led by the Holy Spirit. He is simply being rebellious to what the Bible itself demands of him. Now, the third step that I will follow in our journey through 1 John will be to discover how we can all apply what that verse says and what that verse means to our daily lives. Now, we do not have the liberty, my dear friends, to make a verse say something different from what it actually says. And it's a great sin to say that a verse means something that it really doesn't mean. You have no license, and I have no license to wing this. And the Holy Spirit doesn't give you a fresh new revelation about a verse of Scripture that is unique to you. We are all bound by the established rules of biblical interpretation, and we must realize that every single verse in the Bible has only one correct meaning. And correct study will bring to light what God the Holy Spirit meant in that verse. Now, while it is true that there is only one correct meaning of every verse, it is also true that there may be many different ways to apply that one single truth to that verse to our lives. Some pastors may study every day. Others may take one day a week, spend all day in study. Some others may study at night while others study during the day. These various applications of how he studies are all fine and perfectly in order, but he has no option about whether he is to study in the first place. He is required to study, but he does have leeway in how he obeys this verse. So I pray that you can begin to see that genuine Bible study is very involved because it is very important. And Lord willing, I will apply these principles to our journey through 1 John. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.